You're listening to the WILS Weekend Kickoff on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
Welcome back. Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS, streaming live at 1320WILS.com. Dan Kilbert from SpartanTailgate.com will be with us at 10:30 talking about Michigan State versus UCLA. Dave Benton here alongside Scott Eckersley, my co-host and producer, finishing up our Hindsight 2020 NCAA Tournament bracket. We have three Final Four teams in so far based on the 32 teams left.
You know, I'm not sure that first bracket we did. My hindsight pick, I think I might take Duke in my hindsight. My foresight was Texas when I originally filled it out.
I'd still pick Texas.
Really?
I think Texas matches up fantastically against Duke inside. I think they will dominate Texas or Duke inside, and their guards are athletic enough to stay with Duke's guards. What was the reason that Duke lost to Villanova a couple years ago in the Sweet 16?
They couldn't match up with
the guards. Their guards were too athletic for Duke, and they got run out of the gym. So if you match up the fact that Texas has better big men and their guards are athletic enough to stay with Kyrie Irving and Nolan Smith, I think that matches up well for Texas. Could Duke win that game? Of course. Duke's a one seed. But my hunch is that Texas will win that game. So I'll tell you what. I'll keep that Texas pick, and you can, if we have a pick here, I'll let you pick who we keep there.
Well, if it's hindsight. Yeah. I go Duke hindsight just because when I was filling out my bracket, I didn't know what Kyrie Irving could do.
Okay.
So if... after the next round, I'll know even better against Michigan because, let's face it, in that first game, we didn't really find much out.
Yeah. Well, let's move over to the Southeast, which contains teams like Pittsburgh and Kansas State and Wisconsin. A draw, honestly, when I first saw this bracket, this far and away was the worst bracket. Far and away had the weakest teams. I thought Pitt lucked out big time with this bracket. I mean, you're talking BYU, a team that since Brandon Davies has been gone has lost 2 of 6 games. You're talking UCLA, who kind of backed in to the NCAA tournament as a 7 seed. Michigan State, a team that was just awful all year long. And then Florida, who should have been a 4 seed, not a 2 seed.
There's one thing I never understand, the seedings. Okay, I don't disagree with any of the ones, but isn't it supposed to be the top seed overall, which was Ohio State, gets the worst number 2? And wouldn't you say Pitt is the lowest of the 1 seeds?
Yes, but that also means I think Florida, they rated as the highest number 2.
Which is absolutely unbelievable
when
they're not even a 2.
It is, but if you look at it, okay, San Diego State's terrible. I don't care if they're 32-3, 33-2, whatever they are, they're not a good basketball team. So to me, they're a worse 2 seed. I don't think the tournament committee is impressed by Notre Dame. I think Notre Dame's a better team than Florida, but I don't think the tournament committee thinks Notre Dame's a better team than Florida. They put Notre Dame there because they had no choice but to put Notre Dame as a 2 seed. They played too well during the regular season not to put them there, and North Carolina had just gotten smoked by Duke. Now, here's the argument. Florida had just gotten smoked by Kentucky as well. So I think it comes down to, did they think North Carolina or Florida was a better 2 seed? Personally, I thought all 4 2 seeds were misguided. Me personally, I thought all 4 didn't deserve to be 2 seeds.
Well, look down the list. What 3 seed? I mean, I could put UConn in there, but I don't think there's another 3 seed.
I think UConn could be a 2 seed. I think that, honestly, I think Kentucky should have been a 2 seed.
So do I.
I think Kentucky definitely said, and to be honest, I think Texas should have been a 2 seed. So, once again, hindsight's 20/20. You know, I also argued the fact that Illinois was a 9 and Michigan was an 8 because I thought they were seated higher than they should have been, and they certainly proved me wrong. So, you know, I think you get some right, you get some wrong. But the bottom line is the Southeast bracket was by far the easiest bracket to get through, especially for Pitt. I mean, yes, Butler is a good team, but Butler is a horrible matchup, okay? Or I should say Pitt is a horrible matchup for Butler. Okay, because outside of Matt Howard, okay, Butler has nothing inside. In fact, interesting stat, Matt Howard this year, in 7 of the 9 losses for Butler on the year, Matt Howard has 4 fouls or fouled out. So in every single game they've lost basically this year, Matt Howard's been in foul trouble. Now, Pitt has just that formula to get Matt Howard in foul trouble. They could go down low and be unsuccessful for the first 10 minutes of that game, but draw 2 or 3 fouls against Matt Howard, and then they'd be good to go the rest of the game.
Pitt is always that stereotypical, have the big uglies down low.
I love Pitt.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I love Jamie Dixon's teams. I love them.
I think for MSU fans, that's the closest match of a team.
And yes.
McGee might not be good offensively, but he'll knock you around. And you're right, besides Howard, there's really not too much else left on that Butler team.
And on Pitt, unlike former years, they've also got guards that can score too. Ashton Gibbs can score. Brad Wanamaker can score. They've got guards that can score. They don't just score inside anymore.
That's one big thing with Pitt. People won't recognize names. Wanamaker was good the whole season. Gibbs was hurt for part of the year, where he was supposed to be their top scorer coming in this season.
Let's move on to a game between what I think a lot of people consider the hottest team in the country in Kansas State. Would you argue that point? I don't agree with it, but would you argue that a lot of people are considering Kansas State a dark horse Final Four team at this point because of how they finished the season?
That and the fact that you mentioned of the bracket being weak, yeah.
Yeah. And then Wisconsin, who is a massive underachiever in tournament time. Okay? So there is a lot of motivation on each side, and the best matchup of this entire round individually, Jacob Pullen versus Jordan Taylor.
Yes.
Fantastic matchup. You got speed versus strength, outside shot versus slasher. Okay, this is a great matchup between these two, and I wonder, you think they'll D up on each other? Or you think that their coaches will keep them away from each other to reserve stuff in the gas tank for when they're on offense? Because I would love to see them go one-on-one.
I think Taylor could guard Pullen. I don't know that he'd go back the other way. Because I think Pullen's a little more valuable in having to guard with that strength. If Taylor does try to post up or anything, you don't want him getting cheap fouls like that.
Here's what I'll say about this game. I think Wisconsin is playing okay basketball, but could get better. I think Kansas State has peaked, and Kansas State is bound to lose a game at some point when they play somebody that matches up well with them. And so I think this could be that game where, as good of a team as Kansas State is, they dug themselves such a big hole at the beginning of the season. To get themselves out of it, I think they've peaked too early. I think that they'll probably lose this game to Wisconsin.
You got to fear the beard. Jacob Pullen, the beard. He grew out. No, I know. You don't. Even though I do have a beard, I think we're talking matchup problems. People don't really throw Wisconsin into that mix when John Lure is 6'11.
John Lure is a matchup nightmare.
Yeah, a 6'11 wing player who can shoot. You got Keaton Yankville, another 6'9, 6'10 guy who can step out and hit shots. Yeah, they don't score down low. But you throw in Jordan Taylor, who is, I mean, with all the great point guards in the Big Ten, the best of them. I'll say that.
If Jordan Taylor stays for his senior year, he's going to be the Big Ten player of the year next year. Guarantee it. Guarantee it right now. You can keep it down on video. We can replay it next year. I'm telling you right now, if Jordan Taylor stays for his senior year, he will be the best player in the Big Ten.
I'm just trying to think of who else would be there.
I can see
there.
You thinking over it. I mean, Draymond is somebody you'd have to name. If Sullinger stays, Sullinger could be considered for Big Ten Player of the Year again.
Nobody on Purdue.
No, Hummel will be back. Robbie Hummel will be back.
Look out for Demo to meet Darius Morris.
I still think Jordan Taylor is the best player in the Big Ten.
Yeah, they'll probably have a better team overall.
And I just think he is the best player in the Big Ten come next year. Do I think there's a couple players that are better than him this year? Yeah. But senior year, I'd take Jordan Taylor in that. Let's talk about another one, Gonzaga versus BYU. Gonzaga handling St. John's in the first round. Absolutely handling them. And you and I talked about it last week. You know, St. John's won no big games away from Madison Square Garden. So it's not a complete shock. What is a shock? Okay, people look at Gonzaga and they say, oh, well, it's Gonzaga. It's tournament time. They're always good. Gonzaga was not that great of a team this year, okay? They had to win their conference tournament to get in for sure. They were 0-6 against the top 25 this year. This is not your normal Gonzaga team. This is a team that has a couple freshmen and sophomore on it. It's kind of a rebuilding year. I think around its 32 finish for them was a great finish. Now, here's my question. Is BYU that good anymore without Brandon Davies?
No. It's the Jimmer show and that's it.
They've lost two of their last six games. Other than Jimmer Fredette, who attempted 25 shots in their opening round game. They really have no offensive tools. I think because Gonzaga's a much better team from a well-rounded standpoint, I think BYU's going to struggle in this game.
Well, I remember when Gonzaga came in to the Breslin a couple years ago, and Robert Sacre, the big guy, he's tatted up, he's just a huge, close to a 7-footer, just big, strong
Not
guy.
Not your classic Gonzaga player when you first saw him.
No, he is a bruiser. I mean, he was a load to handle back then as a freshman, or he might have been a sophomore, I'm not sure. And then Elias Harris, he's a good wing player.
Yes.
But the fact you take out Davies, BYU's only a perimeter
they're
team.
A different team. Yeah. They're a different team than they were during... Honestly, I was a believer in BYU when they had Davies. I really was. I thought they were a good team. But now you're talking about a team, much like Michigan State, where the depth really got hit by losing Lucius. Their depth really got hit by losing Davies. Okay? They're now running a six-man rotation, and for the most part, they're just playing their five starters and calling it good. Okay, and that's not a good formula when you only have one good player on your team. If you've got a couple good players, like St. John's did way back in the day when you played with Postel, Bootsy Thornton, Ron Artest, Eric Barkley, when you had all those guys and you have a five-man rotation, then it can work. But when it's Jimmer Fredette and nothing else, that's a big problem in my opinion. Final game to talk about in this bracket, UCLA versus Florida. Now let me tell you, Florida, to me, and as much as it pains me to say, I thought was the most impressive team of the first round. I saw them absolutely dismantle UCSB, who we don't know how good UCSB is. But the thing I liked about Florida was they came in and they didn't mess around. A lot of two seeds, a lot of one seeds in the first round. Sort of struggled a little bit, got through it because they're better teams than these people. Florida didn't even give UCSB a chance to get into this game. And that tells me they're running on all cylinders. Now, vice versa, UCLA looked great in the first half. We don't know how much of that has contributed to how awful Michigan State was, but they fell apart in the second half. And if I'm Florida, I gotta smell blood in the water because UCLA, you know, is thankful that they got through that Michigan State game.
Yeah, UCLA was not that strong of a team, and you nailed it there. When you have a letdown like that and just barely scrape by, you've got to figure they won't come out and get that big of a lead. I don't think Florida will have that big of a letdown to start the game as Michigan State did. And I don't think, just judging from UCLA that second half, I don't think they have the toughness to come back into a game.
Here's an interesting stat for you and what you need to know about how UCLA handles pressure. Overall, they took 47 free throws in the game against Michigan State, which is a ridiculous number. They made 30 of them in the game. Okay, so overall, they were 63% from the line. With a minute 30 to go in the game and to the end of the game, they missed 9 of their last 12 free throws. So their percentage dropped almost 20% in the last couple of minutes of that game, because they completely got flustered and choked under the pressure, and it almost cost them the game again. In fact, if Kalen Lucas makes that second free throw, I think they lose. I think they lose to Michigan State. So, we'll see what happens with that game. Who is your pick to come out of the Southeast Conference? I think we both feel the same way about this, but out of the Southeast region, who are you picking?
I had Pitt. I'm gonna stick with them.
Honestly, the bracket has opened up so much. There wasn't much competition in the beginning from this. I don't think Kansas State or Wisconsin has the firepower to stick with Pitt. And down at the bottom of the bracket, it's a horrible matchup for Florida. UCLA isn't good enough, and BYU is nothing but Jimmer. I don't see how Pitt doesn't just walk to the Final Four. So there you have it. Our Hindsight 2020 bracket, Ohio State, Kansas, Texas, Pitt in the Final Four. We'll come back. You got to say something.
I believe that's our original Final Fours that we both had.
I had Ohio State, Kansas, Notre Dame, and Pitt. I have Notre Dame.
Oh, Kansas. Or no.
Instead of Kansas.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Because I thought Louisville would beat Kansas, and then Notre Dame beat Louisville this season, so I thought Notre Dame would beat Louisville. Hindsight's 20/20. I'd pick Kansas over Notre Dame. So that's our Final Four. We'll re-rack Michigan State versus UCLA coming up next. Also, Dan Kilbridge from SpartanTailgate.com is with us. It's Weekend Kickoff, 1320 WILS.